Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday night at 7.
It is a joy and a privilege to be with you this evening. And as Paul said earlier, if you're visiting with us, we are very thankful for your presence. We would invite you to come back at any opportunity that you might have. It's also a great blessing for us as college students to be able to be here in front of you. College is a very... it's a time filled with turmoil, I suppose, in your life, because you're in an area where you're unfamiliar with, if you've gone away to school, and you're not exactly sure whether you like the area or not. You don't know whether you're going to settle down there. You may not. You may. You might just be here for 4 years. And it's a time when faith may be tested. It's a time when faith may be kind of on the rocks. And it's good for us as young men to be able to have these opportunities, to be able to get up in front of you and to do things, leadership positions that help us to solidify and firm our faith up. And we're very thankful, all of us. I know all the guys tonight are very thankful to be able to be in front of you, to be able to be doing what we've done. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about what Sam just read from 2 Corinthians. We walk by faith and not by sight. And I want us to talk about what that means. What does it mean to walk by faith and not by sight? And also, when we walk by faith and not by sight, what kind of characteristics are present in our life? How does that change the way we live? What kind of things does that enable us to do? So first, what does it mean to walk by faith and not by sight? Does anybody in here know what it means, or has anybody ever participated in a trust fall before? Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say trust fall? It's a completely and totally ridiculous thing, in my opinion. You stand, someone stands behind you, you can't see them, and you fall backwards. Hopefully I won't do that tonight. But you fall backwards into their arms. You can't see them, but you trust that they're there. When I was at Freed, during Interface, the freshman orientation, we did extreme trust falls. And what you did with an extreme trust fall was you stood on a 5 foot or so tall table, and you stood facing backwards like this. The lip was right at the back of your feet, and you looked and saw no one in front of you. But there was a group of people behind you that were going to catch you. And you fell from this position, standing straight up, to this position, laying straight on your back. And they put their arms out and they caught you. It was an experience in trust, to be sure, and in faith, to be sure, because if they didn't catch you, you fall here and then you fall further down and your head hits the ground. And it's not a comfortable experience. But it's supposed to develop trust. It's supposed to develop a team building exercise. It's supposed to be able to help you have faith in the people around you, in your team, in your group of people. And of course, in that instance, it was to help us get to know people better. But in that instance, you fall blindly. You have to have faith in those people that are standing behind you. You can't see them. And we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You trust in those people that are behind you to catch you. And they commit not to let you fall. Because you look at them before you turn around and before you start to fall backwards and they say, "We will not let you fall. We are going to catch you." There's your evidence. The evidence of things not seen. Even though you can't see them, they've told you that they'll be there for you. You have evidence of it even though you can't see it. Another example perhaps of walking by faith and not by sight. In the town where I grew up, there's a man named Mark. Mark is a great servant of the Lord. He's an incredible song leader. His song leading abilities, he doesn't even use his arm to direct singing. He just directs with his voice. And his voice, his presence, is so powerful that he's able to direct the songs and nobody needs to look at his arm and see the tempo. He does a splendid job. He's a very humble man, a man that's interested in doing the work of the Lord. And he's also blind. He's blind. He can't see anything. Whenever he comes to church, he requires someone to drive him there. He requires someone to help him out of the car, into the building, through the entrance, down the aisle, and to sit down on his pew. And when it's his time to go up front and to lead singing, he requires someone to hold his arm and guide him up the steps to the podium, guide him in front of the podium and put his hands on the podium and lay his book down there for him. And whenever he's done leading singing, that person gets back up from the chair on the side, comes over and leads him to the side while the prayer is led. Then he leads him back to the podium, and he does that every service. Every time he's up there, someone has to lead him. Mark, because he is blind, must have faith that that man that's leading him, that's guiding him and putting him up at the pulpit when it's the appropriate time, he has to have faith that that man will do just that, that he'll be there for him. Now, I'm sure that at first, after Mark started doing this and when he was blind, when he went blind, it was difficult for him to trust in that person to lead him. It was a huge adjustment for him not to be able to do it himself, for him not to use his own physical eyes and walk up to the podium. But now he's adjusted to it. And in the literal sense of those words, he walks by faith in that man that leads him, and not by his physical eyesight. Many of us are probably very familiar with the verses we just read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, specifically verse 7. And thank you, Sam, for reading that. We walk by faith and not by sight. We are also commanded to walk using not our eyes, but our faith. That's what that verse means. And just like what Mark does literally every day of his life, when someone guides him around, we do throughout our entire lives in the spiritual sense. But what exactly does that mean for us? What sort of changes occur in our life when that happens? Surely walking without eyesight, like for Mark, is a huge change. Can you imagine how that would be? You're able to see, you're able to look at me up in the pulpit tonight and see me. What if you couldn't see? Can you imagine what kind of an adjustment that would be? How different your life would be every day? That's the same kind of adjustment that we should have in our spiritual life when we learn to walk by faith and not by sight. We adjust. We learn to live differently. We learn to live for God. So how does walking by faith and not by sight change us? What traits or characteristics should we demonstrate whenever we begin this walk by faith and not by sight? Tonight I want to look at specifically five characteristics, traits that we might demonstrate whenever we do begin this walk of faith and not of sight. And the very first one of these is, when we walk by faith, not using our eyesight, we are fearless in our everyday walk. We're fearless. As Christians, we are called to be unafraid. We are to be fearless. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. The context of this verse makes that passage even more magnificent. In this context here, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses is making his final speech, his farewell address, if you might call it, to Israel. And he's handing over the reins of control to Joshua. And at this time, this is before Israel is going to enter the promised land. They're going to be facing nations that are against them, conquering huge nations and huge people, giants for that matter, in order for them to take possession of this land of milk and honey. Moses tells them to be fearless. Though their sight may deceive them, though they may look at these giants and look at these huge armies that they come up against and think, we can't win. There's no way we can beat these people. They must walk by faith. And the Lord will make them victors. And we see as we read later on that when Israel trusts in God, the Lord does just that. He makes Israel victors. He gives them the victory. 2 weeks ago, I was privileged to be at Camp Maywood. One of our young professionals, Chris Wakefield, is the co-director of that week. And it was a great experience. I learned a lot and I met a lot of good people. And every day of the week, the older kids played a spiritual game, a game that was kind of a challenge, sort of like that faith-building exercise that we talked about at the beginning. But it was to build up their trust and to help them learn lessons about how we live as a Christian. And in this instance, it was the last day of games, and it was the minefield game. And the way this game worked is you have a a partner, and one of those partners, one of the people in the pair is blindfolded, and the other one, it's their responsibility to lead them through the minefield. And you could look, I stood on the sidelines because I didn't really care to play, but you know, it looked like a fun game though. But they had to jump over ropes or crawl underneath ropes and avoid obstacles. It looked kind of dangerous, but it wasn't, I'm sure. But the object, of course, was to get from one side of the field to the other without touching any of the things that were in the way. And as I watched, I could see some people, as soon as the blindfold was put on them, they were very shaky, very afraid. They didn't want to get out there. They didn't quite trust what their partner said. They weren't really sure if they were going to lead them in the right way or not. And those are the ones who didn't end up making it. Those who succeeded were the ones who were fearless. They listened to their partner's instruction. They didn't mope about being blindfolded, about not being able to see anymore. They didn't act frightened. They listened. They heard what the instructions were from their partner, which way to go, how far to step, how big of steps to take. And then they charged ahead. They went right through the minefield. And they didn't hit anything. They made it to the other side. We should exhibit a similar attitude as that. We hear our instructions. God's Word gives us those instructions. And then we go. We do what He tells us to do. One of my favorite stories, and where I want us to spend several minutes tonight, is in Daniel chapter 3. So if you want to turn over there, Daniel chapter 3. I'm sure almost all of us are probably familiar with the story that's being told here in Daniel chapter 3. But just to kind of bring us up to speed, I'll read a few select verses from this area just to kind of set the scene for what we'll be talking about. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And now skipping down to verse 4. A herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Now if we look at verses 8 through 12, we see three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men are servants of Most High God. They do not bow down before this idol. They refuse to. And some people that don't like them tell on them to the king. They're reported for their lack of obeying. And in verses 13 through 15, we see Nebuchadnezzar's reaction to this report. In rage and fury, he gave the command to bring these three men. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? If you're ready, at the time you hear the sound of all the instruments, fall down and worship the image which I have made. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that will deliver you from my hands? This story fits perfectly with our theme tonight, I think. We have men who are forced here to make a life and death decision, literally, life and death. They must choose whether to walk by faith or by sight. If they walk by sight at this point, they know that they will be executed for their disobedience. They know that they have done something wrong, and they know that they're going to be cast into that fiery furnace. If they walk by sight, they know their fate. They should bow down and worship the image. If they walk by faith, though, they should choose to stand firm because they cannot see the earthly obstacles that are in their way, the earthly things that will happen. They should choose to worship their God and not bow down before this idol. And they do. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego exhibit this trait of being fearless. Verse 16 reads, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." That verse always gives me chill bumps because this response is to the most powerful man in the world at the time. Nebuchadnezzar is the ruler of Babylon. This is the nation in the world. What he says goes. And these men look at him straight in the eye and say, "King, we have no need to answer you in this matter." They're obviously fearless. They're unafraid of any fate that may befall them. When we walk by faith, we can be fearless. We trust not in what we see, but in what we believe, in our God. And though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though we see death dismay, evil all around us, bad things that happen, we will fear no evil because God is with us. By faith in God, we are fearless in our everyday walk. All right, number one, fearless. Number two, when we walk by faith and not by sight, we can be bold in proclaiming the gospel. As Christians, we are to boldly proclaim the gospel to all those that are around us, to everyone that we meet. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 affirms this. It tells us, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." This is another verse that may require some context to explain what's going on. And the context is really quite magnificent as well. And over in Acts chapter 4, if we look back at verse 13, the boldness of Peter and John is perceived by the men that do not wish for them to do what they are doing, that do not wish for them to preach what they are preaching. They're threatened and they're forbidden to speak the gospel. They're told that if they speak, bad things will happen. Their response to that, verses 19 and 20. "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. But for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" Though Peter and John are threatened, they soon pray for boldness, which is what we just read in verse 29. They pray for boldness to speak the word, to spread it. Such boldness is in spite of physical sight. In spite of the punishment that Peter and John see in front of them, they see that physical pain, they see becoming social outcasts, they see losing any place in society that they might have had. But by faith, they commit themselves to boldly proclaiming the gospel. In Hebrews chapter 11, we often refer to that chapter as the Hall of Fame of Faith. Many faithful men and women are mentioned there. It provides us with a long list of people whose deeds were guided by faith and not by sight. And if you look at the end of verse 35 and following in Hebrews chapter 11, the word reads, "Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two, tempted, slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth." If you look a little bit earlier, up in verse 32 or 33, it talks about prophets are some of these people that are being discussed here. People who proclaim God's word, who boldly preach the gospel, who boldly say what God would have them say. They walk by faith, not accepting deliverance, as we read in verse 35, rather than by sight, by looking at the tortures that are around them. They walk by faith and refuse to accept that deliverance. Now back over briefly to Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We looked at verse 16 and we saw that fearless attitude that they demonstrate. Now, let's look at verse 17. Verse 17 reads, "If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O King." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are unafraid to proclaim the power and the might of God. They're unafraid to proclaim His ability to save. And although they are literally knocking on death's door, they are bold in telling Nebuchadnezzar what kind of God they serve. They're bold in talking about God. What they see through faith is much greater than what they see through their mere physical sight. By faith, we can boldly proclaim the gospel to all those that we meet. So, when we walk by faith and not by sight, we are fearless. We are bold in proclaiming the gospel. And we're also immovable in our commitment to Christ. Immovable. As Christians, we are to be immovable when it comes to matters of doctrine, of principle, and of character. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 tells us, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain before the Lord." On a similar note, over in Proverbs, the writer tells us in chapter 25, verse 26, "Like a muddied spring or a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way to the wicked." God delights in us when we commit ourselves to Him, when we show character and principle, and we do not compromise what He's told us to do. The verse in Proverbs tells us that those who do compromise are like muddied springs, polluted wells, a dirty water source that you wouldn't want to drink from. The waters of life flow from the message that we can give to others by boldly proclaiming that message. But if we compromise, if we pour mud or pollution into that message, we taint it, then we cannot proclaim that message like we should be able to. If we walk by sight, sometimes it appears that we receive rewards for doing just that. Sometimes it appears that it will be better if we compromise. Such is in character. We might receive a promotion in our job if we do a few things under the table. Or in doctrine, we might bring more people into our assemblies, achieve greater popularity if we do things like bring instruments in, if we do things that make us more popular. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 tells us about this, though. There is a way that seems right unto man, but its end is the way of death. However, if we walk by faith, we know that we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, real rewards for being immovable. Character, if we stand firm in our decisions and do the right things, we will be rewarded, even if it's difficult at the time. Doctrine, we must preach the truth, no matter what man's opinion is of us or of what we say, even if it makes us unpopular or disliked. John chapter 14, verse 6 tells us the only way to God is through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So very briefly, let's go back and look again at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 shows us how they are fearless. Verse 17 shows us their boldness. And now verse 18 shows Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's immovable spirit. And verse 18 is most definitely my favorite verse of this entire section here. Verse 18 reads, "But if not, God does not deliver us, like we said in verse 17, if He chooses not to, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." It's an amazing proclamation. Here they tell the king that regardless of whether God delivers them from their fate, regardless of whether they are delivered from the burning fiery furnace, they will not bow down. Regardless of whether God delivers them in the earthly sense, in sight, they will not compromise. They are immovable. They will burn in the furnace long before they burn for eternity. They will not move from their position. By faith, we are immovable in our commitment to Christ. Number four, by faith, when we walk through faith and not through sight, we are unstoppable in our pursuits for Christ. As Christians, we are unstoppable when it comes to doing work for our King, for our Savior, for our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39 tell us about the power of God. And I'd like to read that. It's a relatively long passage, but it gives us great assurance. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." If that's not assurance, I don't know what is. It's an amazing declaration of God's power and of what God does for us. We are assured that God is for us. He's with us in everything, in all things, and that no man can be against us. No created thing, for that matter. We are also assured that nothing at all can separate us from the love of God. This does not mean that we will never falter. This does not mean that we'll never trip or never stumble in this world. In our pursuits for God, we may fail. Sometimes something may go wrong that we try to do. But we must remember that those stumblings are of this world. When we seem to fail at doing the Lord's will, we must remember that we are only failing in sight. As long as we are striving to serve Him, and as long as we are doing what His Word tells us to do, following His Word, we are unstoppable in faith. But we must obey Him. Let's once more go back and visit Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 3. We've discussed fearless, boldness, and being immovable in verses 16, 17, and 18. Now let's go down and look at verse 25. And actually, let's back up and look at verse 24 and look at those three verses, 24, 25, and 26. This reports to us the results of what happens when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into that fiery furnace. And King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been thrown into the fire, but we see that they're okay. Though they've been subjected to death, the power of God has made them unstoppable. They viewed the furnace through the lens of faith rather than through that of sight. Because of this, God protected them. They were faithful. By faith, we are unstoppable in our pursuits for Christ. The fifth thing, the fifth trait or characteristic that we may demonstrate when we walk by faith and not by sight, is that we are conquerors in the end. As Christians, when we walk by faith and not by sight, our faith will one day become sight. One of the songs in our book paints the picture in the last verse, "And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend." Romans chapter 8, verse 37 assures us that we are more than conquerors in all these earthly things. And we just read those verses when we talked about the last point. We are more than conquerors in these earthly things because in the end it is we, the church, who conquer through the ultimate victory that God the Father wins. Paul tells us about his fighting of the fight on earth and the reward that he receives in the end. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, "I have fought the good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to those who have loved his appearing." By faith, we in the end are conquerors, not only of this world, but of the reward that we receive. By faith, when we trust in God, we become so much more than what we are when we merely walk by sight. The transition from walking by sight to walking by faith is a big one, though. By faith, as we talked about tonight, we can be fearless in our everyday walk through this world. We can be bold in proclaiming the gospel, immovable in our commitment to Christ, unstoppable in our pursuits for our Lord. And in the end, we are conquerors. However, without faith, we cannot do any of this. Without having faith, we are blind in the way that matters the most. And tonight, the Lord's invitation is open to everyone here. In order to begin walking by faith, to be a conqueror in the end, we must first be conquered. This conquering that occurs in us is a commitment to Christ, to God the Father, to giving up the ways of the world and to allowing Him into us, to control our lives, to control our hearts, and to guide us. We must hear what He says and do just that. And tonight, we've heard parts of His Word. Romans 10, chapter 17 tells us where faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we also must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for our sins on the cross, and that He was buried and then rose again on the third day, that He ascended to heaven, and that He's now preparing a place for those of us who are Christians. You must repent. We must turn away from the old life and be conquered in all things. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 tells us that unless we repent, we will all likewise perish. And we must confess His name before men, both in word and in deed, and then be baptized, have our sins washed away, and become pure and clean. We must then walk by faith, renounce sin, and live as one who has been conquered by God. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We must walk by faith, not trusting in this world, but trusting in God. And tonight, if you are a Christian, if you have been trusting in sight, though, not in faith, we urge you to come back to Him tonight as well. You have that opportunity at this time to commit yourself to walking by faith, to walking with God and not by sight. And if we can help you in any way tonight, we urge you to come forward as we stand and sing at this time.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.